Let's pray together. Father, we do ask now that by your Holy Spirit, you'd help us turn our eyes upon the most bright and dazzling and beautiful Savior, Jesus Christ. We look at his face shining on us this morning, and that then we, as your people, would shine, that we would awake. O sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Give us that this morning, we pray, Father, in the name of Christ, your Son. Amen. You may be seated. Beloved NPC, whom I love and long for, grace and peace to you from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. We will continue our sermon series in the book of Ephesians this morning. We're going to be in Ephesians 5, verses 7 to 14. Ephesians 5, verses 7 to 14. You are light in the Lord. And as you are turning there, I want you to come with me in your imagination to Broad Street in Oxford, England, nearby the University of Oxford. And I want you to look at the ground at Broad Street. In the middle of the street, you'll notice a set of bricks there in the shape of a cross, which marks the spot where in 1555, two faithful gospel pastors, Hugh Latimer and Nicholas Ridley, were exposed and burned at the stake for their bright witness for the glory of Christ in their generation. It was a very dark time in the culture of 16th century England. During this time, any Christian who treasured the gospel of God's gracious acceptance of sinners by faith alone in Christ alone, you often receive great persecution, at times even being burned alive. In the midst of such darkness, Latimer and Ridley were bright, shining lights for Christ. In fact, as they were set ablaze with fire at the stake together, it is recorded that Latimer turned to Ridley and said these words, "Be of good comfort, Master Ridley, and play the man. We shall this day light such a candle by God's grace in England as I trust shall never be put out." And dear Christian brother and sister, what Ephesians 5, 7 to 14 is saying to you is really just that. The Lord Jesus has lit a candle in your life by his grace. And you, in the midst of this dark world, you are the dazzling and bright strategy of Jesus Christ to shine in the darkness. Now, we're not facing the sort of violent persecution for our witness for Christ that our forefathers were facing in the 16th century. Today, we live in a secular culture, which means that people seek to construct their own happiness detached from reality with God. Yet things have gotten very dark in our time and place, haven't they? You'll remember from last week, Pastor Dane pointed out to us verses 3 to 5 of Ephesians 5, where we read of the sexual perversion as well as the foolish, degraded speech that Christians, that God's saints must flee from. Not even be named among you is what Paul says there in Ephesians 5. And yet today, such sexual darkness and such dark, shameful speech, it's celebrated in our culture. We could give a few different examples. One being the proliferation of mega popular Netflix shows or Hulu shows that include explicit scenes and explicit speech that celebrate as normal what God has clearly condemned as sin. Or another example of the darkness would be a 2022 article that summarizes the findings of the national poll conducted by the Austin Institute for the Study of Family and Culture, which revealed that 50% of American men believe that pornography use actually strengthens their intimacy in marriage. And sadly, this darkness has infiltrated the church, where this poll even says that 50% of the people taking the poll had identified as Christians. And so NPC, Ephesians 5:7-14 is the Lord's lantern for us, guiding us in this very dark forest, being a light to our path to navigate how we ought to function and behave as a bright witness for Jesus in the midst of our very dark world. Or to use a medical analogy, you want the healthy doctor without an infectious hand disease operating life-altering surgery on the sick and dying patient. You are, Ephesians 5:7-14, it says this, you are to be a bright light for Christ. You are to be different from the darkness for the sake of transforming the darkness. You are to be separated, different in terms of value, behavior, speech, attitudes, different from the darkness for the sake of shining a light onto the darkness. And this we will hear in the passage before us. Hear now God's word, verses 7-14 of Ephesians 5. The Lord says this to us this morning. Therefore, do not become partners with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true, and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. May the Lord bless his word to us this morning. So from this passage, we will seek to embrace by God's grace, two realities. First, you are light in the Lord, verses 7-10. You are light in the Lord, verses 7-10. Therefore, shine in the darkness, verses 11-14. You are light in the Lord, therefore shine in the darkness. First, you are light in the Lord, verses 7-10. Look with me at verse 7. Therefore, do not become partners with them. Paul here is highlighting the previous context with the word therefore. Do not become partners with them, them being the sons of disobedience. If you look the verse before, verse 6, look with me, verse 6, sons of disobedience. Do not be partners with them, Paul says. The sons of disobedience meaning the non-Christians, those who have not embraced the goodness and grace of Jesus and therefore follow him in response. Their disobedience is most clearly demonstrated, according to Paul's argument in verses 3-4, if you want to look above a few verses, in the areas of dark sexual sin and degraded forms of shameful speech. So Paul, verse 7, says, we must not become partners with them. Partners here does not mean that we must not befriend non-Christians or become business partners with non-Christian people. In fact, Jesus himself was the friend of sinners, and the religious leaders of the day thought they were obeying God by radical separation from the world, yet Jesus Christ came into the world to save dark-hearted sinners. Jesus attended parties and became friends with the most rebellious sorts of people in the first century. Yet, he remained holy and unstained from their behaviors, their attitudes, their speech, their practices. And that is the sense of partners here. We must not be fellow partakers, some translations would say, or sharers in fellowship with the same experiences and actions of the sons of disobedience. This past Friday night, the men got together for fellowship, and we joined in on, we're partners together in the same activities and attitudes and stuff, right? NPC, if you are in Christ, verse 7 is God's clear word to you. Do not have fellowship with, do not join in on the same ungodly, Christ disobeying activities attitudes and values of those who are not submitted to the Lord Jesus. Now, Paul then is going to transition and clarify why this is the case that we must not participate in the darkness, why there's a radical difference between Christian believer and those who have not yet embraced Christ. Verse 8, look with me at verse 8. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Brother or sister in Christ, let's think about this together. I know you wake up at night and literally you're in the dark. And if you are like me, verse 8 feels like it has flipped upside down in your actual life. You feel you are now darkness. Those terrible thoughts, those horrific memories, the impure present ambitions, the wayward desires, the dark sins of your life and heart right now make you feel that you are in some way in the darkness. But listen to the good news of the word of Christ this morning. Verse 8, you at one time were darkness, but now you are, now, right now, you are light in the Lord. There's been a decisive break from the old life in dark sin to the new life in the light of Christ. Your impurity has been replaced by Christ's shining purity. You're in Jesus, your dirty heart has been surgically removed and swapped for his new heart. Your dark misunderstanding of who God is, what God is like, it has been now replaced by the truth of who God really is revealed in Jesus Christ. Your dark death has been exchanged for the radiant life of Jesus. If you are in Christ, you right now are light in the Lord, dear brother and sister. Would you receive that this morning? Do you believe that about yourself? It is no longer dark night in your life any longer. Not even in your current struggle with sin. The sun has risen. The darkness has fled. The warmth, the light of Christ is now piercing through the window of your cold soul. And Christ has made you a new creation. You are a new creation in the light of Christ. Think about what we read earlier from Genesis 1. At creation, darkness was over the face of the deep, yet God speaks, let there be light, and there was light, and the Lord saw that it was good. So the gospel announces that God in Jesus Christ has done, is doing, a work of new creation. What he launched in the resurrection of Jesus is the beginning, not fully, obviously. We look at the world around us, the new creation has not fully come, and yet substantially. There is a decisive newness that has happened in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead in the first century. And all those who by faith have embraced Jesus are part of this new creation, this light that has been dawning in the darkness of this world. The Lord now sees you and views you and treats you not as a dark rebel of degraded desires. He treats you as his blazing light in Christ his son. Remember what else then God did at creation, Genesis 1. Did you hear it? God then separated the light from the dark. Did you hear that? So here you are, light in the Lord. And what has the Lord done? He's not only made you light, he has now separated you from the darkness. That is why we don't participate in the activities and actions and attitudes of rebellion against the Lord. Because of this, then, verse 8, Paul continues with the key command, walk as children of light, which is the positive action related to the command in verse 7 to not partner with the sons of disobedience who are still in darkness. You are now children of light. You are now light in the Lord, so you must be who you are. Act in accordance with who you are. Walk. Live it out. Live out the light that you now are in the Lord. Have you ever watched a child play? Maybe you saw this yesterday. It was a sunny, bright, warm day. Children playing in the light, joy, radiance, innocence, purity, dare we say fun. Walk as children of the light. You are free, brother and sister, from your darkness. Your darkness does not define who you are. You are light in the Lord. Would you believe that this morning? By God's word, you have permission to receive that and to be a child of the light, radiance and innocence given back to you through Jesus. And yet there's more. There's more. You know what else happens at creation in Genesis 1 after God creates light and then separates the light from the darkness? We hear these words. The earth brings forth vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit. Genesis 1, verse 11. And guess what happens when the new creation light of Christ shines upon your life, your real life, walking as children of the light? Verse 9, look what it says. For the fruit of light is found in, is produces all that is good and righteous and true. This makes sense, doesn't it? God and Jesus shining the light of new creation. Jesus so full of truth. Jesus so full of goodness. Jesus, everything is right about Jesus. There's nothing wrong about the Lord Jesus. And when he shines his light on you, how could you not but bear fruit for his glory? The fruit of goodness, just like Jesus, caring for others' eternal well-being. The fruit of righteousness, just like Jesus, living in accordance with God's holy character. The fruit of truth, just like Jesus, resisting what is false, speaking trustworthy words to people in ways that accord with God's truth in his scripture. These qualities of Jesus then play themselves out in everyday life, as we see in verse 10. Look with me, verse 10, as we discerning what pleases the Lord. We think carefully, we might say, if we think very specifically of things in our life, we think carefully discerning how we might use our technology devices in what verse 9 would say, righteous and good ways that please the Lord in a dark world that uses them so often to self-indulge in the darkness. Or we discern wisely how to use our speech in ways that are good, verse 9, for other Christians as we speak the truth in love to build up the body of Christ and give grace to all who hear. Ephesians 4:15, not in corrupted dark speech that degrades, which Paul clarified earlier in Ephesians 4:29. NPC, you are light in the Lord. Walk then, as children of the light, in all that is good and right and true. Be of good comfort, NPC, and play the man. We shall this day light such a candle by God's grace in this dark world as I trust shall never be put out. And a question comes to mind at this point. If we are bright beacons for Christ in this world, candles aflame, dazzling brightness for Jesus in the midst of the darkness, what about the people who are still in darkness? And might we get very honest here? By people, we don't mean this generalized category of people. We actually are thinking about neighbors that we know and are coming to really enjoy who don't know Jesus. Or more significantly, family members who don't love the Lord Jesus like you do. Friends who once seemed to shine brightly for Jesus, but now those friends seem to just revel in the darkness. What about them? What about them in the darkness? Well, that's what we turn to now in verses 11 to 14, which is going to tell us that you, dear Christian, you shining bright, dazzling light for Jesus, you are the strategic game plan of Christ shining in the darkness. So that those might be exposed, we'll see what that means, exposed and yet attracted to the light of Christ. This is our second main point, verses 11 to 14. We must shine in the darkness. Look at verse 11. Take no part, Paul says, in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. The first phrase seems clear enough. Do not participate in the works, the sins of darkness. But it's the next phrase that probably is puzzling to us. It was puzzling to me. when I was first studying this passage, and I learned something this week. It was so wonderful. Does expose them mean then? Just go with social media. Proclaim to everyone your neighbor's top three sins. Expose them. Write an expose. Or a harsh rebuke in the face of a family member for their foolish choices. Expose them. Or like Pharisees of Jesus' day who believed they were prophetically aligned with God's truth, didn't they? And they exposed all those tax collectors and sinners. Well, actually, at root, this word means something like show what something is actually like. Reveal its true colors. Expose it. And while words are necessary, let me be very clear, there are other passages in Scripture that do tell us that we are to rebuke, we are to exhort when someone is stuck in sin, but we must think carefully about Jesus. How did Jesus speak rebuke to unbelief and sin? Jesus, let's be very careful to understand, did so. Jesus exposed sin a lot, all the time, didn't he? But Jesus exposed sin in such a way that the very dark sinners of his time and place were irresistibly drawn to him, attracted to his light, like ships at night drawn to the beacon of the lighthouse seeking refuge from the storm. That's what it was like when Jesus was here doing his ministry of befriending and exposing sinners. And so it seems that then a careful reading of this text is actually saying that it is our lives, get this, Christian believer, our lives of bright, faithful, Christ-like integrity, the fruit of all that is good, right, and true, verse 9, that it's such a distinctive contrast from the darkness that it actually serves to expose the emptiness of living in that darkness while also drawing those in the darkness to the light. Look again at verse 11, where expose them is the positive action in connection to what Paul says at the first, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, talking about activity, behavior here. Notice that in verse 9, the light of Christ produces fruit, works of goodness, righteousness, truth, and these are qualities that bring benefit to people, aren't they? Just like a tree with the sunlight shining on it. I grew up in Phoenix, Arizona. We have orange trees in our backyard. It produces the most delicious fruit. The whole point of sun, the light shining on the tree, is to bring benefit, delicious benefit to other people. But here in verse 11, what do we see? Participation in the sexual sins and speech sins of the context of verses 3 and 4. They are labeled unfruitful works of darkness. In fact, verse 12 then clarifies these sins done in secret darkness are so bad, they're so horrific that even to speak of them is shameful, it says in verse 12, because it's a simple fact that good fruit cannot come forth to bless others if the tree is always hiding in the dark. So that's why Paul says we must expose the works of darkness, not going to the blog detailing your neighbor's top five sins, not verbally reprimanding non-Christians in their shame, but instead living such distinctively dazzling, beautiful lives of quiet, faithful integrity. When you're at work, not participating in the workroom gossip that's so easy to fall prey to. When you think about your relationship with your girlfriend or boyfriend, some of you who are not yet married, joyfully pursuing integrity and purity in a culture of darkness that says you should just have fun and fool around. Those in here logging on to the internet in such a way that brings glory and pleasure to the Lord Jesus and not to your own self-indulgence. And these sorts of daily, mostly unseen, faithful works of integrity are bright, shining lights for the glory of Jesus. I mean, think about, friends, in terms of the unfruitful works of darkness, think about how much life, how much joy, how much time has been wasted just in those two areas of sexual darkness and the speech sins of the context that Paul has been writing about. How many young people in our day and age have wasted days and weeks and months of their lives addicted to online pornography, unfruitful works of darkness? How many people have wasted days and weeks and months of their lives talking about or watching or listening to foolish, degrading topics of discussions on news outlets or podcasts or your favorite YouTube channel? This is summarized, this darkness, by one songwriter beautifully. He says, "It's hard to face the day from here where it looks like the night has it surrounded. Sometimes all this pain and sadness is more than a heart can handle. I'm tired of cursing at the darkness. I'm going to light a candle." Are there any Christians in this room this morning that want to light a candle for Christ? I know there are, because I know you, NPC. And I see you in your quiet, dazzlingly bright ways, living for the Lord Jesus in the midst of the darkness. And this is where then Paul turns in verses 13 to 14, where he now describes the process of exposure by the light to transformation to the light. Look at verse 13. "But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light." It is now changed from dark to light by the process of exposure by the light, right? Think of, kids in here, those glow-in-the-dark toys. My sons like to play with glow-in-the-dark cars. If those little glow-in-the-dark cars are in the bathroom, darkness, they're just dark toys. But it's when the lights are turned on and that toy is exposed to the light, what happens to that toy? It glows. It glows. That is what Paul is talking about here. The Christian's life functions like a flashing billboard on a dark highway, and it does two things simultaneously. First, the billboard of your life, of godly, bright integrity for Jesus Christ, it is a sign flashing, pointing, saying, "Danger, danger, unfruitful works of darkness, life wasted as you continue down this path. Turn back now." That's what your life is showing to someone who is in the darkness. And yet, not just warning, not just exposure, but Christ's light through your life of integrity and faithfulness actually is a billboard that, a bright billboard that points to something greater, something more wonderful, to be human the way that humans were meant to be, in love with their Creator, following the Lord Jesus with mind, body, and soul. Your life is that bright, shining pointer to those in the darkness that there is a new way to live life, to come out of the darkness and let the light of Christ shine on you. Be of good comfort, NPC, and play the man. We shall this day light such a candle by God's grace, as I trust shall never be put out. And this then brings us to the glorious calling in verse 14. Look at these amazing words. "Awake, O sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." You probably heard it in the Isaiah readings from the scripture reading earlier. These are a cluster of phrases here in Ephesians 5 that are borrowing from the book of Isaiah, and very simply, it's a beckoning of those in darkness to come out of hiding in the misery of that darkness into the saving and sweet and sunny light of Jesus Christ, who loves nothing more than to shine on dark sinners. Are we hearing this glorious call this morning, NPC? And I think specifically of two people this morning that I wonder need to hear this. To all Christians here who are dabbling in the darkness, who are walking down the path of dark temptations of sin, wake up, dear Christian. You are light in the Lord. Rise up, come out of hiding in that dark shame. Christ will shine on you. Christ loves to forgive you and mend what is broken in you. Your sin, Christian brother, sister, does not need to relegate you to the sidelines or maybe the nosebleeds of ineffective living. Right here, this day, awaken. Awaken to the slumber. Awaken from the slumber. Arise. Christ will shine on you. Christ will cleanse you. Christ will put you back onto the field, so to speak, to play. Walking as children of the light. Come out of the dark hiding. Second, to anyone here who is darkness, and I'm speaking about those who have not yet embraced Jesus Christ and all that he wants to give to you, those who would not identify as a Christian. You are not just in darkness, that is true. This passage says, verse 8, you are darkness right now in your rebellion against the Lord. But the offer of verse 14 is Jesus himself saying, awake, O sleeper. Arise from your spiritual death. Christ will shine on you. That is the offer to all who are here. Beloved NPC, if we are going to burn brightly for Christ in a dark world as an attractive witness for those in the darkness, we must return then back to the blazing light where it all started. This is where I conclude. Where it all started, and I'm not talking about the 16th century in Oxford on Broad Street with bricks in the shape of a cross in the center of a street where bright lights were burning for Christ, exposed for all to see. What I'm talking about is we need to go back all the way to the first century outside Jerusalem on a road leading to Golgotha, where a cross stands at the center of human history, where the child of light, Jesus Christ, the blazing light of this world, was not burning on a stake, but dying on a tree, exposed and mocked in total darkness, bearing for sinners like you and me the darkest curse of death and sin. Do you realize that Jesus Christ, the child of light, walked into darkness so that you, dear Christian, could walk out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Wake up, O sleeper. Arise from the dead. Christ will shine on you. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you have given to us in Ephesians 5. 7 to 14, I pray now by your Holy Spirit that you would apply the truth of your word deeply in our hearts, Lord, that what was spoken here from your word would come piercing into our hearts. Do the work that you need to do of comforting some, strengthening others, convicting, trying some truly from spiritual death to life right now. But all of us who are in Christ, I pray, would we know Jesus, that you shine on us. You have taken upon yourself all our darkness, and now you have given us your light. We are light in you. Help us believe that, and help us then be the bright, shining candle for Christ in this dark world, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.